music from the best exotic Marigold Hotel, music by Thomas Newman. I have to ask you, and I don't know the answer to this question. I mean, when has it ever come up between us? But have you ever been to India?
I've never been to India, and I felt a little guilty about that going into this movie because the subject was older people in England moving to India at the end of their lives. And I thought, what is a Yank kind of doing here, and what could I possibly bring to this movie? I'd worked with John Madden, the director, on a movie before, The Debt, and it had been one of the greatest collaborations I'd ever had. I really enjoyed and continue to enjoy working with him. And I told this to him. I said, I mean, why me? I have no experience in India, no experience with Indian music, and I'm not that old yet. He said, I don't have a problem with that. And I was pleased to hear that because, in the end, I figured I could push at a type of Indian music, Bollywood music, and my style being somewhat improvisatory by virtue of the types of musicians I hired and singers in some cases, that I could push at a style and still, you know, bring some kind of drama to the music.
Yeah, well, you didn't do it. You didn't do. And actually, that's a much nicer answer than what Igor Stravinsky said to Lucas Foss. It's a terrible thing. Foss asked Stravinsky, had he ever been to India? And Stravinsky said, no, but what do they have there? They have the poor. The poor are not interesting.
Wow.
Sweet man.
Igor
Stravinsky. Well, actually a very sweet man, and in fact one of the best and busiest film composers today. Thomas Newman has stopped in tonight. We're going to be playing some recent scores, or since he was last here. Tommy, welcome back to KUSC.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here.
And as usual, you've just been nothing but busy for the last, well, since I last saw you, which is A few years ago.
It's been pretty busy. Sometimes these movies spread out, but it seems that, you know, even when they do, I'm pretty much at it all the time.
Yeah. And, of course, the actual life of a film composer, you know, there was a time when it was down to about 10, 12 years. And now it's, you know, snap back to as long as you can do the gig. You know what I mean?
I think it's, in a way, it's being useful, being creatively useful in this case. And I think recognizing that it's a highly collaborative art form, and that for me, how can I bring style and substance into a movie and still service it as something that's larger than just the music?
Yeah. Yeah, for Best Exotic Marigold, did you actually spend a lot of time, say, listening to the late, great Ravi Shankar, who passed away a few weeks ago, like that?
I listened to a lot of music in a pretty rapid-fire way. As I say, it made me a little uncomfortable. What was I doing here? But, you know, the interesting thing about Bollywood music, having nothing to do with Ravi Shankar, is that it borrows so much from the West anyway. It's interesting, when you move from the East to the West in that fashion, it seems like legitimate. Maybe less so when you start in the West, move to the East, and then back to the West. But I kind of was taken by the kind of whimsical nature of Bollywood music, and I think I hopped on board some of those kind of principles.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, for this one, you know, you got to score a picture that has two great dames in it, as in dames, commander of the British Empire, who, of course, have been in pictures before together. You know, Ladies in Lavender,
Which I've never seen.
Dame Maggie Smith and Dame Judi Dench. And of course, they're both wonderful in this.
Yeah, I mean, the acting is pretty remarkable. I think John Madden appeals to such a high caliber of actor. It was just great to be a part of it.
And as we were listening to that, you told me it's one of your favorite scores.
It is, and I'm shocked to say it. But it's probably because, you know, when you're a little less prepared, you tend to reach out to others and to reach into parts of your creative self that maybe you're less comfortable reaching towards. And what you pull out is oftentimes surprising and interesting.
Yeah. Well, far be it for me to disagree with the President of the United States, but I thought, and I think he was just saying that in retaliation to something that Matt Damon had said about his performance, but I thought the Adjustment Bureau worked like a dream. it was a very fragile movie. I mean, anytime you're dealing with that kind of fantasy,
right,
the dangers are like virtually every scene. I don't think it put a foot wrong anywhere.
Yeah, George Nolfi, a first-time director, a very talented writer, very, very smart guy, very interested in having countless conversations about the nature of what the movie was trying to get at. A very interesting fellow.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the score for The Help, you know, it's one that, you know, you have a very distinctive musical personality.
And who knows why?
But you know, all film composers have to be chameleons. And sometimes, you know, you have to bury that personality.
That's true.
And I have to say, since stop reviewing movies, I don't read up on everything. I just go to the movies like somebody going to a movie. And it took me a while to figure out in the Adjustment Bureau, just as it took me a while to figure out in The Help, because, you know, the main titles don't have who did what.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to figure out it was you.
Oh, how interesting. It seems like most of the movies I've worked on lately always credit at the end. Directors seem to think that a credit sequence at the beginning of a movie somehow stops an audience from kind of going forward into the feelings of a movie. So I've heard that a lot. I had no idea you'd worked on Best Exotic Marigold Hotel until I got to the end and saw that you were credited. It's interesting.
Yeah, really. Well, speaking of that score, which just earned you your 11th Oscar nomination, I think it's fair to say that given his track record, brilliant as it is, given the films American Beauty and Road to Perdition, I think it's safe to say that Sam Mendes was probably not everybody's first choice to direct the new James Bond picture. But as it turned out, it was a pretty bright choice, given the fact it is the top-grossing Bond film of all time.
Right, and he had a relationship with Daniel Craig through Road to Perdition. They may have worked previously in the theater, but I think it was that association that gave Sam an in, and I think genuine interest. You know, an idea like Sam Mendes doing Skyfall is good if it ends up being good. That's what I find so interesting. You know, a movie can now be a platform where any director can be expressive if it's the right marriage and if the ideas are valid. So it was kind of a wonderful thing that people had some doubt about Sam, that he pulled it off so well.
Yeah, and the way that the character in the franchise has morphed. I mean, this one is about as far removed from what it became during the Roger Moore time, for instance.
Right, from which Fluff.
Yeah, almost self-parody.
That's right. Yeah. I wonder, too, in that instance, you know, what was going to be my role as Sam's collaborator. When I first had heard that Sam was going to do the movie, I very shyly emailed him and said, if you would ever consider me, I would love to be a part of it, wondering if doing a Bond movie meant he was going to be moving in a different direction. And he asked me to lunch and kind of said he would love to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, because you are not the first guy I think of when I think of action sequences.
I mean, yeah, I suppose so.
Not that you haven't done, you know, a few, but you know, this is not.
Well, the thing about action music is there's so much requirement in it. I think that's what struck me. And in the case of something like Bond, which is such a franchise, the creative spirit really has to be a layer under the franchise. So it's how to be expressive in this context. I think it was the same for Sam and probably the same for everyone. You know, as much as you could say it's just another movie, your approach to it will be the same as it's been on any movie in the past. There's still this overriding, it's a James Bond movie, and what does that mean? And do I need to be a student of Bond, or is being a student of Bond being too reverential? So all kinds of questions I had to ask myself about my role.
And I suppose even with $1 billion-plus in the bank, it's probably too soon to say. But I presume Sam Mendes is being considered for the next one.
There's talk, but that's as much as I've heard. I think there's interest, but there's questions, and it's probably too early. I think Sam's line now is I just need to rest a little while and regroup before I think about my future. Because, I mean, he's just been on this forever. I think MGM came out of bankruptcy. There were all kinds of things that made this such an unlikely movie. And his work ethic is so strong. And the five movies I've worked on with him, I've never seen him. I mean, he's always been a great leader, exhibited great leadership, but none more so than on this one. And I think it's because he recognized that he had something to prove, and that in turn I had something to prove. And he was just muscular in his approach all the way. I mean, I spent just under 4 months in London writing and recording, and he was good. Yeah. He was tough, but he was really good.
Yeah. And it's a very satisfying. Very satisfying.
It's a good ending. Good endings are always a good thing in a movie, I think.
Exactly. So how far into the next year are you already with commitments and so forth?
I just finished a movie for Steven Soderbergh, which comes out in February. And then I have some commitments that start in February. Well, actually, I'm supposed to work with John Madden, I think, again on a TV series, a cable series about Masters and Johnson, and then on to another movie in February and March. So it's kind of busy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, in the last few years, you've also been writing stuff for the concert hall.
I have. And what do I think about that? Yeah, I was commissioned by the Kronos String Quartet to write a piece, and that commission kind of got bigger into a piece that involved them and the Los Angeles Philharmonic for a performance of a piece that began as a string quartet and then got bigger at the end of 2009.
Yeah. And I know for a fact that the world's greatest chamber orchestra, the Australian Chamber Orchestra, you got to be careful saying that in this town, because we got a pretty decent band in Los Angeles. No, these people are insanely great. They are dying to get you to write some music for them.
And you've said this to me in the past, and I would very much like to do it. You know, time has been just so crazy, and allocating it is even crazier.
Yeah. And I try to explain that to their surfer dude music director, Richard Tognetti, who, in addition to being a great violinist and putting together, you know, this incredible ensemble, world-class surfer.
Wow.
And the reason he won't take serious gigs away from Australia is he plans his life around surfing. I'm not making this up.
Surfer violinist.
Exactly. I don't think he does the two simultaneously.
That would be good.
So, in other words, just business as usual, just more things that you can actually do comfortably, but you keep doing it.
I suppose. I mean, in the end, day to day, for me, probably the biggest pleasure is just being around musicians and interfacing and collaborating and team play. I really do admire the people and appreciate the people that I work with so much.
Yeah. Well, again, best of luck at Oscar time. I'm sure you'll be. You know, I'm John Williams, I think, is a phenomenon in that I think he's been nominated multiple times in at least 6 years, you know, where he's against himself and so forth. But your day is coming. I know it, for sure.
Well, thank you.